This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You can't listen to the news or peruse the internet without hearing or reading about the various uses of medical marijuana, CBD oil, and hemp products. From Alaska to Maine to Florida, as of May 2018, 29 states and the District of Columbia allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes. 9 states and D.C. permit its recreational use. 17 have removed penalties for the use of CBD products for medicinal reasons, but not necessarily the use of medical marijuana. Pet owners, be aware all of these rules and regulations refer to people and not pets. And if all these products seem to treat a plethora of problems in people, supposedly without any of the side effects of traditional pharmaceutical products, why hasn't your veterinarian been discussing this topic with you? My guests are two distinguished colleagues who bridge the gap from hearsay to testimonials to scientific investigations of the beneficial effects of hemp products on pets. I'm thrilled to learn about these breakthroughs from Dr. Joe Wachschlag and Fred Metzger. We'll be right back with some really interesting new information. Stay tuned.
Listeners, I'd love to introduce you to PetPlate.com. They deliver freshly cooked human-grade dog food right to your door. I've been feeding Pet Plate to my pup for the last 2 weeks, and it's perfect for my picky pup, and perfect for me since I'm so busy. So if you want something super healthy, really tasty, and ready to serve, go to PetPlate.com/spot to get 30% off your first box. PetPlate.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Doctors, thank you so much. This is a topic that I am addressing every day, sometimes a little bit uncomfortably because I don't know and my hands are tied. So Dr. Joe and Dr. Fred, thank you for being with us today and lifting this veil, or I should say this smoke fog, of what we're getting into with hemp products.
Bernadine, this is Fred. Glad to be here, and I'm with you. I know exactly what you're going through. I'm in practice, and there's a lot of things that we're trying to nail down right now. Can we even use this product? Does it work? Are they all the same? So hopefully we can help you a little bit today, and we'll probably ask some questions ourselves. So. Good. That's my perspective anyway.
Dr. Joe, you're the one who is probably one of the most critical steps in here, because my clients are coming to me and they say, oh, I'm using CBD for myself, trying to use it for my pets. How much? I'm going, I don't have any scientific information, and you're bringing the science. First of all, tell us a little bit about the difference between marijuana and hemp. How are they like? How are they different?
Right now, we know that everybody's using medical marijuana, and marijuana is really used for the properties of THC, which basically has these sort of, neuropathic type of effects at this, various receptors along the spinal cord and brain, and they actually can help mitigate pain. However, there are about 80 different cannabinoids that are in these hemp plants, and actually when you get away from the THC, some of the strains are very rich in something called cannabidiol or CBD. And CBD actually doesn't have sort of those, we'll call them side effects from a neurologic perspective.
They don't get you high.
Yeah, they don't get you high. And they have more of an anti-inflammatory property, as well as some properties at helping what we'll call neuropathic pain, which is the transmission of the pain signal up the spinal cord.
So, Dr. Fred, you're in clinical practice all the time, and you're a boarded veterinary practitioner. I'm sure that, as you're saying, you're hearing about this, I'm hearing about this also. When you hear about MDs prescribing marijuana? Are they truly prescribing? Because I'm sure a lot of people are aware marijuana is in a whole literally class by itself of drugs that our DEA says you can't even touch.
Yeah. Well, so being in practice, I've been in practice 30 years, and we have a lot of difficult cases, and I'm trained in Western medicine. I was never trained in any, you know, hemp oil or any of that stuff. I'm kind of a traditional vet, and I started really giving it some thoughts when I've, you know, just the barrage of clients that are asking us, and I'm just saying I don't know much about it. And what's really nice, I was introduced to Dr. Watchlog, and, you know, Joe's a double board certified vet with a PhD, and, you know, that That made me go, And after I spoke with him, he's like, no, there's really something to this. And I guess the way I'm looking at it from my standpoint, of course, I don't want to recommend things that aren't tested, so I didn't. Well, the product that we're going to talk about today has been tested really more than any other. And I'm just sick of looking at animal suffering that there's nothing I can do for them. So there's plenty of patients that have been on non-steroidals or other pain medications that are getting no help, including some of my own technicians' pets that were old, and one of my own, actually. And it was really my own pet, my 14-year-old lab, where I'm like, I'm either going to, you know, have to stop and euthanize her, or I'm going to try something different. And that's what was kind of the switch that flipped for me.
Dr. Joe, are there states, you know, I was kind of rolling off all these various states that you can have medicinal marijuana, you can have recreational marijuana. Are there any states, to your knowledge, that allow veterinarians to prescribe CBD, or how do we go about it? Because, yes, I want to give my clients the best information, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's our biggest problem right now is that when states were making laws, the veterinarians were sort of forgotten about for whatever reason. And so this led to a lot of questions coming into the American Veterinary Medical Association, and they, in essence, had to write up some guidelines, and their guidelines pretty much said that until we have further evidence of any true utility, we can't make recommendations. Therefore, we have to stick with the idea that we should not be recommending this, and you should not be recommending this as a veterinarian. Therefore, you know, your license could be in jeopardy if someone were to question you or sue you because, you know, their dog may have had a bad reaction for whatever reason. And so this is where it came down to the science, and that's why folks like Fred got involved saying, okay, how do we set up a really good study? And the reality is that there are a lot of different recommendations out there, and I hear even some of my colleagues going, where did you get your dosing from? And it's like, well, we went into the literature and looked at the human dosing. We looked at the rodent dosing, and we used doses that were similar to where they were seeing effects in the other species, and which is far higher than what a lot of the other companies out there recommend. And it's really about, you know, this is a pharmaceutical to some degree, and though we don't know exactly how it works, it tends to have some pretty profound effects.
So again, Dr. Joe, you were saying that there are these various forms of cannabinoids that's in hemp products. It doesn't have the THC, the thing that gets you high. Is it safe to use marijuana? Because oftentimes people go, well, you know, I'll have a little edible and I'll just give some of that to my pet and I don't really know how much to use. Is marijuana basically good, safe to use in pets?
Well, we know that, of course, we've all seen the, we'll say, poison control aspect where a dog gets into, you know, somebody's stash of marijuana and they come in and those dogs are down and out for a long time, and that's not what we're trying to do here. All we're trying to do is mitigate the pain without that, you know, neurologic effect. And I think, you know, the reality is that if you're using the right strain of hemp or, in essence, marijuana, if you're using the right strains, you can have some profound anti-inflammatory effects without the neurologic. And, you know, they're just, you know, we're sort of in the infancy of trying to understand this in all reality. And from a clinical perspective, we have evidence now that it does help with arthritis pain. And so, you know, we shouldn't be ignoring it. We should be looking to, at least in the states that are allowing it, to start changing the laws to help veterinarians mitigate pain, because we have very few pain relievers in dogs.
Yes,
I might
definitely
add just real quickly. So what I would say is do not use marijuana in dogs. We know it can be toxic. All the strains are different, you know. So what I'm specifically saying is, with caution, of course, watch what you're using. Don't use marijuana. We're talking about using CBD extracts that are not going to have more than 0.3% THC. You know, we don't want THC. That can be bad. So we're talking about products that are low in THC, but have cannabinoids that have been studied. And that's the problem. There's a lot of products you can buy right now. They've had no studying. They don't know whether what the dose is, when to give it. I mean, and we have a lot to learn on the Elevet product, but at least we know what the pharmacokinetics are. We know how often to give it and what dose. And you mentioned side effects. I can just give you anecdotal side effects. I've had 3 dogs now that have eaten entire bags of the Elevet chews, so that's 60 chews. And the normal dose on a dog would be 1 to 2 chews twice a day, so obviously a pretty high dose. This is only 3 dogs, but I've had no side effects, which is nice. I'm not saying there couldn't be. I'm just saying with my experience, I have 3 dogs, and I actually had 1 cat that ate half a bag of the dog chews without any
side
effects.
So in other words, it tastes good, too.
It tastes very good.
That's important. All right.
So not to say you can't have problems. You know what I'm saying is about, but I'm just saying I have had 4 patients now that have consumed very, very high doses without any side effects. That doesn't mean there couldn't be, but my feeling right now is it's probably a pretty safe product.
I love it. So your clinical experience is perfect. Let's go back a little bit, Dr. Watchlag, where you're talking about this Elevet CBD oil. I always tell people when they come in and they're looking at various nutraceuticals that you go to some health food store, you see a product, you say, okay, vitamin C. And here's a bottle of vitamin C that has 500 milligrams of vitamin C per tablet, and it's $42 for this little teeny bottle. And you get another bottle, it's go to Costco, and it's a huge bottle and it's less expensive and the same. It's like, wow, the expensive one must be better because it's more expensive. But CBD oils aren't all made the same. Tell us about the studies that you did at Cornell. So that, in my mind, totally elevates the study because I can trust what you're saying. But tell my listeners about this study. What happened? What'd you do? What kind of study was it?
Yeah, so our study was actually a placebo-blinded crossover design where the dogs got 1 oil for about 4 weeks, and then we crossed them over after a few weeks to another oil, and we didn't know which oil was which. Our owners didn't really have any idea of what was going on in terms of the oils. So we basically randomized it, and we put them on, and then we just asked the owners over time, you know, how they felt. We did our own examinations as veterinarians, and lo and behold, by the end of the study, we got through 15 or 16 dogs. It was very evident that there was one oil that seemed to be superior to the other. We started looking at the data, and we had enough data there to really show that there was a quote-unquote statistical effect or significant effect, and that we were basically dropping pain scores and we were dropping or an increasing activity in these dogs. And so we decided we might as well just start writing something up for publication. We submitted it and presented it at the Surgeons Conference last year, and are finalizing some publication revisions to get this done in the next few weeks in the journal so that everybody can see it. It'll be online access, so all owners and all veterinarians can read it and evaluate it for themselves. But from our perspective, we had some very, very pronounced effects, particularly in dogs that were in what we'll call more severe geriatric pain.
So right now, Dr. Fred, with you being in clinical practice, I presume you've been using this on your own clients who are coming through the door. Is it just dogs? Can it be cats? Can we use it in other species? And here we have the indication from Dr. Joe of saying, okay, it's for pain. And that's fabulous. What other things have you found that it can be used for?
Well, and Bernadine, you know us as veterinarians, we're going to start to think about other uses. So once again, my idea on this was I'm trained in Western Med. I didn't know that this was even an option, and I was very hesitant to use the Elevet product. I used it on my own dog. That's the first dog I ever used it on. And I probably have 150 patients on, 150 canine patients, mainly with mobility and osteoarthritis problems. That's the main reason we put them on. But I definitely have played around with other things. I'm not saying to do it, but I have. My feeling is it would be interesting, and we're actually doing some studies right now. How will this work for dogs with anxiety? For instance, you know, phobias, thunderstorm phobias, which we have a big problem on the East Coast, or just, you know, fear, anxiety, and stress coming into the vet hospital. I think there's some interesting things. Certainly, we know in people, especially in children, they're using it in seizures. That's pretty well known. Is that something we could use it for? Could be very interesting. And then certainly in the cat, that was a big thing for me. And there are some ongoing studies, Joe knows of some of them better than I do, in cats, because I think there's some big uses in the cat. Cats have a lot of anxiety problems. Urine marking, that's a big problem, and there's certainly other ones. So my feeling is I think we will use this for a lot of conditions, but I'm also worried that you get on the internet and look up hemp or cannabinoids, and everybody's using it for everything. I mean, that's a problem, especially when it hasn't been studied. So I'm like you, Bernadine. I'm like, Joe, I want the studies. I want to know what the dose is. Is it safe? We have to handle the legal issues, too, clearly. I think that's going to take care of itself. But there's a lot of issues right now. But, you know, I want to know what's the product that's being studied, what studies are they doing, is it safe, and what's the dose. So, I mean, that's really where we're at right now. And one thing I applaud Elevet on, they're willing to do the studies, which most of the other people are not. You can buy a lot of products online right now. No one has any idea if there's any cannabinoid in it. Some of the early studies are showing some of the other products, there isn't any cannabinoid in it. So buyer beware. And that's why, you know, I listen really to what Joe's doing. I trust him. He's a researcher. He has no financial interest in any of this. So that's why I'm so interested in the Elevet product. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be others, but I want proof, you know. Bernadine, I'm like you. If I'm going to recommend it, I got to have proof. And I think we have a long way to go, but I think with Elevet, we know a lot more about that product than any of the other products on the market right now. And that makes me feel good.
Dr. Joe, with, you know, we're kind of all bowing to you, and thank you so much for doing this research. I am impressed that Cornell was amenable to having you do this, because I'm sure they were a little bit, oh, I don't know. This is kind of, you know, out there on the fringes. One of your board certifications is in sports medicine and rehabilitation. So you must be seeing so many of these cats and dogs who are having joint issues, arthritis, as you're saying, boy, you've gone through the repertoire of what we have available and it's just not seeming to work. What percentage of the pets that you've been testing seem to have a positive response?
I'd say 80 to 90%, the ones that we're using it in. And, you know, I think we see the most dramatic responses are in those older dogs who have multi-joint lamenesses. People aren't exactly sure whether the dog's in enough pain to euthanize the dog, and they'll actually go ahead and put the dog on this and say, you know, the quality of life is just better right now. And they decide not to euthanize that older dog, and I think that's where this is a real go-to in those cases. Now, if you have a dog, what you don't know is if your dog just had surgery, is this good for surgical pain? We don't really understand that or know that at this point, so we can only really recommend it for some of these, you know, instances of really bad chronic arthritis at this point. But I would say that we have very significant response rate, as good or better than anything else that we have available to us right now.
This is just exciting, and I definitely want to talk about this more. Right now, I'm having the pleasure of speaking with two great colleagues, Dr. Joe Wachschlag and Fred Metzger. We're talking about the use of not even medical marijuana. We're talking about CBD oil and a company, Elevet, and their product. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Pretty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. Two kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Joe, to go back to the studies that you've been doing, are there other ones that you're planning on doing to looking for other potential effects, positive effects of CBD oil?
Yeah, actually, we have a colleague who's now looking at it for post-operative pain in cats, which is great because we really need something for cats because cats are pretty intolerant to some of the major pain relievers these days. And we're getting ready to do something post-operative knee surgery in dogs. We are also potentially looking at it from a seizure perspective as well. So I think those are the next two big areas to really examine is the post-surgical pain and the seizure control, because that would be a great thing for refractory seizures.
Dr. Fred, you being in clinical practice, veterinarians love using things that are off-label. It's like, okay, well, let's see if it works for this. We always will inform our clients, this is not labeled for this use, but I think it may be of assistance. What have you been finding in your clinical practice?
It's interesting because, you know, we've been using this product on the worst cases. The dogs, you heard Joe say, and in my practice, my own dog, one of my technician's dogs, you know, we were at the end, you know, we're probably going to have to think about euthanizing because of pain. They're older patients. There's nothing's working. You know, let's try it. Those are the first group of patients we tried Elevet on, and we got some pretty amazing results. And so I think now we're like, being veterinarians, this is what we do. You know, what are some of the other patients, and, you know, why are we using it just on the really severe ones? I think because there's so many other products that are labeled that we can use, but it's been frustrating over the years, and I've been a vet for 30 years, when you see a lot of the products and a lot of the side effects, especially with the non-steroidals, and I just wanted something new to try. So I think as we go along, I think there's going to be a lot more uses for this product. I hope there is. My initial studies on the cat, remember, I'm not at a university. I'm just using it, telling people, tell me what you see. If you're seeing any side effects, let us know. Luckily, I haven't seen any side effects, but I have three cats on this product right now, one for urine spraying. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think there's going to be a lot of uses. I think there'll be too many recommendations as well, and it all goes back to the studies. My personal opinion is I know it works for mobility in the dog. I think it's going to work in the cat. I think there's going to be some huge uses for neurologic disease, I hope, especially seizures. I mean, they're using it in kids now with refractory seizures. I don't know why that wouldn't help in dogs and cats. That's certainly something that's being studied right now. So I'm hoping that's going to be a breakthrough. And then for me, the behavior problems. I think if this could be something that could help with behavior problems, Bernadine, you know, it's very frustrating, especially in the cat, that have behavior problems, and maybe it's just feline lower urinary tract disease. We got nothing. We got nothing to use. So I think we'll learn a lot, and I think we'll also learn that a lot of the products are not what they claim to be. That's my biggest fear, that people are going to jump on the cannabinoid bandwagon, which I think is worth considering jumping on. But watch the products that you're using. They're not all the same. They're completely different. And one hemp plant that is grown in one area of the country is different than others. So there's going to be some great variability between the products. So that's why I'm so big on, I want to know what product is the one being studied. I want to know what's in it. So buyer beware and ask for the studies. I think that's very important.
There are so few companies, as you're saying, like Elevet, that is doing the studies, with people finding that, you know, just testimonials. My Uncle Fred has, not talking about you, my Uncle Fred has cancer. And, you know, his chemotherapy was just wreaking havoc on his body, and he had no appetite. And then we started giving him CBD oil, and he's eating, he's keeping everything right. Down. Life is wonderful. So it seems to be, you know, the answer to everything that ails you. But without those studies, I feel so hamstring that I can't say anything. You brought up, Dr. Fred, about the legality of it. And CBD oil is still in that realm where, how do you handle this? Because I know here in California, I'm not supposed to even talk about CBD, marijuana, any of these products. But I feel I have to, because otherwise where are they going to? The dispensary to get their point of view.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I'm totally with you on that. I'm in the same spot you are. I guess I'm a little bit further along just because now that I've used the product, the Elevet product, like I know what it is and I know how much it can help. I'm still going to be cautious. You know, I'm going to tell people, listen, there's still a lot of studies that need done. This is the most studied product. This has been my experience with it. I used it on my own dog. I've seen what it's done in other dogs, but, you know, certainly that's up to you what you want to do. I'm talking like I'm talking to a client, obviously. And then I'm directing him to Elevet's website, which is elevetsciences.com. That way they can read about it. They could even buy it from the website. If I'm a vet and I'm like, I'm not going to sell it, go there if you want to try it. I think that's not a bad strategy as a veterinarian, saying that it's up to you. You make the decision. If you decide to use the product, it's really not on me. You can buy it right from their website without a prescription right now. That's probably what I would do. If you would have talked to me a year ago, I would have been a completely different story. I would have been much more hesitant. I would have said, I don't know really anything about this, and I probably am not going to recommend it. A year ahead, now speaking today, you know, when you meet Joe and you talk to people that are doing the research that are board certified veterinarians from a veterinary school, and these are people that don't have a financial interest and they want to get answers. I spoke to a very prominent veterinary oncologist that told me they are going to use it for some things. I think that's interesting. I think the oncology applications could be big. But once again, I think we're in the early stages. You know, thank God Joe's done some pretty good studies and some other people as well, just trying to prove that it's safe. Here's the dose. I mean, we're just figuring out what the dose is right now and how often to give it. A recent pharmacokinetic dose, their study that they did, shows in cats we probably need to give it 3 times a day. I mean, that's a brand new study. So we're going to learn a lot. We're at the very early discovery stages. But there's definitely something here. You know, I guess that's probably what I want to say. I think we're going to learn a lot more. And, you know, we need to fund research like Joe's research. That's really what we need.
I think it is absolutely essential that veterinarians do learn more about this. Hopefully our DEA, FDA will change their classification in the way that veterinarians have access to this. I know it's been a difficult process. Dr. Joe, when you broached this subject, did you find that there were other colleagues who had done similar studies, or were you kind of the lone veterinarian out there on the frontier?
No, I think it just sort of depends on the school that you're talking to. There are currently studies going on at Colorado State. There's some pretty substantial funding, I believe, just from the industry that's gone down to Auburn University now because they've gone through the steps to get the approval, particularly from the DEA perspective at Auburn for the pharmacology. And then UC Davis, I hear, is also doing some research using products too. And I guess that's where it's going to become the conundrum, or if things don't work in a Davis study, but they do look at a Colorado study, who are you going to believe? And that's where the product becomes the caretaker here, because the reality is that every single strain of hemp is a little bit different, and some of them are dramatically different. And so it's really going to come down to what strain they're using, because we talk a little bit about what's called the entourage effect, is that, you know, you may have CBD, but you may have, you know, a dozen other cannabinoids at significant concentrations that could be helping the effect or hindering the effect. And so that's where this becomes hugely complex, and it's going to become the idea of, well, which product has the most studies for the most indications, really, because there's going to be products that are going to have probably literature behind them, and the ones that don't, and if you hear that they've been doing studies and you don't have literature behind them, you're going to have to sit back and wonder if that product is worthwhile, and is it the same as something like Elevet. So.
And Dr. Washlag, you were talking about these various strains, and as I was doing a little bit of research on the Elevet site, they were talking about, yes, the various strains, but this synergistic pharmacological effect of having the cannabinoids, but then also having terpenes. We haven't mentioned that yet. What are terpenes, and how do they work together, and their long-term effects on the body?
Yeah, I think that's some of the complexity, is that we know terpenes in general are somewhat anti-inflammatory. So are we having the quote-unquote, you know, pain-mitigating properties from the CBD, and maybe the terpenes are what are, you know, driving the anti-inflammatory action? And so that's always the question, is exactly what's in there, and is it the same for every batch? And at least we have pretty good evidence right now that every batch that's been prepared by the Elevec company is very similar. There's like 8% difference, which is pretty small across each and every batch they've made in terms of the overall profile of cannabinoids and terpenes. So, you know, I guess that's really what we have to get down to understanding and at least asking those questions as veterinarians. You know, what strain are you using, and is that strain reliably being extracted with the same concentrations time after time? What are the concentrations in your product of CBD? We know right now that the dose we use, which is around 2 milligrams per kg body weight, tended to work, may work at lower doses too, at one. So, you know, it's really about sort of doing your due diligence as a veterinarian to actually look into the products that you are maybe not recommending now, but very likely will be recommending in the future.
As Dr. Fred Metzger said, you know, buyer beware. So just because you go to your dispensary and you find product X there on the shelf and the kid behind the counter says, oh yeah, this works really great on my dog, you really don't know what's in it and if it's going to help or if it could even be toxic.
Yeah, very likely.
Bernadine, I was going to say, to me, this is exactly like all the nutraceuticals, right?
Yes.
You know, the chondroitin sulfates that, you know, people go to the local health store, they're completely different. And you have to make sure you're getting what you're supposed to get, and you have to know what's working, you know? Glucosamine and chondroitin, there's 50 products out there, and they're all different. Some people have done no studies, you know? I'm just like you. I want the studies. This is the most studied product right now. You know, I'm hoping and I'm encouraging any company that wants to get in this, and a lot of companies are, they need to do the studies, and we need to make sure the product's the same, because my Lord, you can't prescribe product A and then in a year it's completely different, you know. Maybe it's less expensive to grow, so they switch to a different product. I mean, it's very important that you know what you're buying, and also I want to make sure this is the product that's been studied. That I can't emphasize enough. Because a lot of people are just not going to do the studies, and they're going to piggyback off Joe's and other studies and say, CBD works. We have the lowest priced one. You know, you got to be careful with what you're buying.
Back to Dr. Joe, since I know that you are a member of the American College of Veterinary Nutrition and a diplomat of the American College of Veterinary Sports Medicine and Rehabilitation. It's been a while, but I was for couple of years, a veterinarian that did sled dog racing, one of the trail veterinarians, and wondering for sled dogs, agility dogs, luring dogs, all of these sports dogs that are out there. We know that horses are highly regulated with regard to what medications you can use. If you're a human, what sports enhancing medications you can and cannot use. How about dogs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've all heard about some of the hullabaloo last year's Iditarod with dogs testing positive for certain things. And the reality is that the idea of testing these dogs is probably of utmost importance to make sure people aren't doing untoward things. And when it comes to some of these other products, I mean, you know, we talk about not using anti-inflammatories like non-steroidals, and the reality is fish oils and non-steroidals, so we should not be using those things too. And then we come to products like, you know, cannabinoids. You know, those might mitigate inflammation and pain on the trail too, so what's to stop someone from doing it, particularly when they're not testing for things like this? So it's just sort of this Pandora's box that we probably should be looking into a little bit more when we talk about, you know, testing and what's appropriate and not appropriate on the trail. And just because it's natural doesn't mean it's not, quote-unquote, pharmacologic, right? So there's just this huge disconnect from nutraceutical and pharmaceutical. Maybe we shouldn't have.
That gray area. Since we just have a few moments here to wrap up, Dr. Fred Metzger, you being in clinical practice, seeing these various cases, talking to your clients about Elevet, could you give us one of your most touching success stories?
Yeah, I can talk personally from my older lab, but what I would probably do is rather tell a story about a dog that I saw. Actually, one of the first dogs I ever put on Elevet was an older dog that I have, you know, taken care of for a long, long time. This is a dog that had chronic kidney disease that we were very afraid to use any of the non-steroidals on, of course. and we had used some of the other medications that we have available without much success. So I literally said to this client, who I know very well, hey, you know, I don't know if this stuff works or not. I don't know that much about it, but it would be worth a try, because otherwise we're going to have to stop. And, you know, anyone who's been a vet in practice, we have patients that are, you know, like our own pets. They become our own pets. So this is a dog named Monty that I knew really well. And we tried it, and, you know, it took really less than a week till this is a dog that was able to actually go upstairs again, which was pretty amazing. This is a dog that hadn't gone upstairs in several years. And this dog eventually died of hemangiosarcoma of the spleen, but the last couple months of life were just great for this dog again. And that's what made me really think about, you know, what we're doing and what products that we have. And I think our mindset right now is to use it in the worst of the worst, and that's what we've done. But now I'm beginning to think we should be using this in other dogs, and I'm interested in the studies that Joe was talking about, you know, on dogs that are getting cruciate ligament surgery, which we do in our practice, and we do it quite frequently. You know, what about those dogs? Or, you know, what about dogs with seizures or cats with urinary tract problems? And it just opens up a whole nother part of practice, and it makes me start to think out of the box again, and it really just gets me excited about pain management again, that we might have something new that hopefully will have less side effects, and it's something we need to learn about again. And being in practice that long, any of us that have been in practice, we're in practice because we love animals and we love to learn new things. So I look at this field of veterinary medicine in pain management, and I really do think the cannabinoids are going to turn it on its head. I always speak at North American and Western Vet Conference, and I noticed that the speakers, Don Booth, on cannabinoids, they needed three different rooms. There was so much interest in it. So I think this is the hottest thing in vet med. I think we definitely need to learn a lot more about it, but I think this is going to change more pets' lives than anything we've had in a real long time.
Well, you've gotten me very excited about this, and I'm sure that my listeners are wanting to know more. Don't be frustrated if you go to your veterinarian and your veterinarian looks at you with this blank look of either, I know nothing about it, or I don't feel comfortable talking to you about it because maybe you're from DEA. There's a lot of concerns, but if you have an interest, you can go to the website, learn more about it, and bring it to your veterinarian's attention. I think we all need to learn. So doctors Fred Metzger and Joe Watchlag, thank you so much for being with us today. I've learned a lot and do appreciate it. And if you want to learn more about ways that you can be the best possible veterinary client, please tune in again next week where you can learn more here on The Pet Doctor. Any questions, send me a line. You can also follow me on drcruzandpets.com. That's Dr. Cruz, the letter N, pets, or on Facebook, Dr. Cruz and Pets, or Twitter, at Cruz and Pets. So have a great week. Tune back in next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.